Hi, Carol with you. We have it all for your enjoyment. Down south on 99.7, and if you're centrally situated, 104.5 FM. Up north, we don't forget you, on 92.3 FM. Radio at its best. No excuse for not having community radio in your life.
It is 7:39 here on 2UU. My name's Colin Hesse, and you are listening to Friday Breakfast. It's great to have your company. Local government elections will be held around New South Wales, including in Shoalhaven City Council, on Saturday the 14th of September, with pre-polling opening on Monday the 9th of September. As part of 2UU's coverage of the election campaign, I'll be interviewing all the lead candidates for each ward, and today it's Ward 2. It's welcome then to our first guest this morning, Labor's Ben Christopoulos from Vincentia. Ben, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning to everyone out there and everyone travelling to work this morning. It's a ripper of a day out there. We can see out the window here. I've not been in this studio before. It's a great place to be. So thanks for having me on.
Ben, it's great. It's a pity if you've got to go to work, really. It's such a lovely day. You'd rather be at the beach or a bushwalk, wouldn't you?
Exactly right. I'll be stuck inside later on doing my normal day-to-day. And it's a ripper of a day.
Well, let's start with a bit of your background, Ben. What do you do and what interests you in running for council?
Well, first of all, how far back do I go? So I'm ex-Navy. I'd spent 21 years in the Navy. The last posting I had was down here at HMAS Albatross, like so many of us. And I've set up residence down in Vincentia, which is just a beautiful place to live. And my kids have gone to school here. Wife is an accountant down in Sanctuary Point and all those things. I work in lawn bowls. I work currently a commentator and work in some policy side of things as well. Previous to that, I was in policy as well, with looking after 94 clubs from southern Sydney all the way down to Ulladulla. And why council? I think it's more an instinct for service that you get when you leave defence. Defence people tend not to get right into their communities. They're in one place for 2 years and then another place for 2 years. For me, this is the longest I've ever lived in any one spot. I'm not going anywhere and I've still got that instinct for service, and I think that's what I really want to get, why I think I can qualify for council, I think.
Which is a good instinct, but let's go to what you believe the key issues are. I mean, there's lots of stuff out there in the community. What do you think the key issues are?
Oh, straight away, it's policy. At the moment, council's got a disconnect between what it needs to do and what it can do. We've had decades of mismanagement, technically. You know, the roads, I'll just specifically talk about them, and especially my favourite one, Jervis Bay Road, which I drive almost every day. It was all laid out in the 70s and put in, and then there was no maintenance plan put in for it, which is why they're all falling apart. So we have I think it was something like 21% of Shoalhaven roads are beyond repair and need replacing, and that's just basically because there's never been a maintenance policy, and governance is what I'm good at. So good at policy, good at creating policy, and then making policies and enforcing them and making them happen. And we need to build a base level at council.
I think I saw something on social media that you'd put up saying that the last council, the outgoing council, identified the problem. The next council's job is to fix it. So you see that as part of your role to make sure that gets fixed. Is that right?
Exactly right. Well, so the last council itself were the ones that found out about the fleet, that there's 20 or 40 cars missing from Shoalhaven Council, which is incredible. And because there's no fleet policy. And again, just basic stuff like that. And that's what I'm good at, is that governance, is that building policy around that. So they found it, and it's up to this council to fix it and create a base level for the next couple of councils to build upon. And it sounds boring. There's no big promises except work, and that's what we need.
You're running under the Labor Party ticket. Mm-hmm. What makes you and Labor different from the other groups as you're going into the election?
Well, I think straight away I can talk about collaboration and community focus. So I can tell you no one on our ticket, the number twos, have any real ambition except for council. None of us want to step up we're not using this as a springboard into state. Every single one of us just wants to serve the community. And there's probably more about us that can work with other sides of the other people that may get voted in other parties or groups compared to anyone else, which tend to be a little bit partisan. We're just not that.
I mean, Shoalhaven Council has had a long history of some being fairly fractious. You know, I think a really long history. Do you have a commitment to working with the other people the community elect?
Oh, 100%, absolutely. Yeah. There's no point in the infighting. It's not about, you know, people always talk about party politics within council and how bad it is, and they're right. The if we can't get along and work together, then, you know, everyone's got a different way of doing things, but there's got to be some kind of collaboration. We can't be infighting. The lack of respect we've seen in the last couple of councils, the horrible stuff you watch online or if you attend the meetings, that's just got to stop. There's got to be some dignity and respect in those positions.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big issue. We've seen that in the discussion about the federal parliament as well, and the local government's well known for being fairly unhappy. Moving this discussion a little bit, planning population growth have, I understand, been big issues in Ward 2, particularly proposed developments on the former Anglican church site in Huskisson and at Kalala. What's yours and Labor's approach to these issues?
We need to respect the history. I can speak specifically about Huskisson and whatnot there. There's room for growth, but growth doesn't mean expansion. So we've got to use what the assets we've got and the things we've got more efficiently, and that doesn't necessarily mean taking out all of the history that we've got at the same time. So that space isn't just an important community for the Anglican Church at Huskisson, it's the Indigenous community and the graves that may be there as well, and we've got to have respect for what has come from the past, but we've also got to be able to progress in a manner that achieves all of our aims for population growth and the tourists and all that kind of thing as well.
That issue of respect, it goes back to, that seems to be a bit of a theme for you. Mm-hmm. Do you see that the council hasn't necessarily been, or not the council as a body, but not as the employees, but the elected councillors haven't always managed to do that in years gone by?
I can only go by what I've watched on... So one of the things that's not well known is that the biggest voting block in council is the unanimous block.
Yes,
so all the councils vote, all the councillors vote.
About 85%.
That's right.
Of motions go through unanimously. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe even 95%.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, it's not about them working together. It's the silly games that I think get played at times that don't help the community. Mm. There's just playing partisan politics. We don't need that. We need respect. We need to work together.
I'm going to take myself back to it's not just in the question of population it's not just the increase in population that's driving housing unaffordability, but the lack of low-cost housing is becoming increasingly serious, and it is a serious issue. Given the limits of local government, what do you want to do to help lower housing costs for people?
Yeah, look, lower housing costs it's not just necessarily even about supply. So the top end of town, and I can talk about the coastal regions, one of the biggest bugbears I have is that we have so much housing down here. I think I read I can't remember the exact figures. It was in the Sydney Morning Herald. The vacant housing down here is massive.
Particularly
on the coastal villages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got people down that own houses down here that can, at the top end of town, that can afford to have their house empty for 90% of the year. Mm. So we've got empty housing everywhere. But you talk about at the other end, the lower affordable housing and affordable rents, we need to be very circumspect in the way we approach this and where we even look at putting them. There's no point putting affordable housing top of the hill in Vincennia or anything like that. We've got to have them close to support services. We've got to have them close to public transport and where the jobs are as well, because there's no point putting affordable housing out in the regions out near on, you know, Burial Lane or something like that. It's got to be within the places. So for the state government, for the federal government, who have to look after this stuff as the majority side, council needs to make the space available for that to happen. And that's why I see...
Is there an argument for increasing density? What you're talking about is low-density suburbs, which we have a lot of in the Shoal Haven, which are, of course, actually expensive to maintain from a council perspective as well. Are we talking about then increasing density, even looking at medium rise in the centres of some of our towns as well?
Depending on the town, I think there's space for it personally in the bigger towns like where we are now in Nowra, things like that. I don't think it serves the community for medium density housing in the coastal villages. I think in the urban areas like we're in here, there's a place for it. I think Yeah, I'd have to look at the policy there.
The other thing about housing, and I know this has been an issue that the outgoing mayor has talked about, which is the Airbnb stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's been an issue not just in this area, but it's along around coastal New South Wales and Australia and indeed around the world. Do you think there's a case for reducing the amount of nights that Airbnb can be used to try and force some of those vacant houses into longer-term rental for the local community?
Look, maybe a case for that kind of discussion, but again, I don't think that's something council can do. What we've got to do with our Airbnb space is look at other ways to get money out of the people that are coming down. So visitors, you know, everyone knows how many visitors we get down here, especially particularly between Boxing Day and 2nd of January. It's huge. So look, things like tourist parking, so Hyams Beach, putting in paid parking around the area would be a fantastic driver of income straight away. And that's just for the tourists. Obviously, locals have your sticker like they do in most other councils in Sydney. You know, Northern Beaches, where my sister lives, has a visitor's pass and her pass, and they can go visit Manly Beach because that's their local beach. Why aren't we doing that here? I'm not really sure. It's just a really easy way to bring in money from those money from those tourists and those visitors. So Airbnbs aside, yeah, the people are going to come down. I don't think that we as a council can limit or even put a bed tax or anything like that, which has been spoken about before. That's not a position we can take, but what we can do is do with the surrounding things to help generate income from the huge amount of tourists we get.
Yes, it's one of those balanced things, because you actually want the tourists because that keeps a lot of the local businesses going.
Correct.
But yes, it's balanced. Ben, as we close our conversation this morning, is there anything you'd like to leave listeners thinking about with your candidacy?
My candidacy, so it's not just about me, it's about the team. And one of the things I did this quickly, I'm just looking at the time as well. So I'll just sprout this quickly and say that we don't just need business people on council, we need policy makers, and that's what I do. So just looking at what I can do for council, I'm into policy, I love my community, and I want to make it better, and I want the roads fixed, I want our rates okay, and I want the... what else do we do? Rubbish. We'll sort that out as well. So that's all the council's about. So look at Labor for Ward 2 and good luck, everyone, and get your votes in on the 14th of September.
Ben Christolatis, and, yep. And that's me. I pronounce it much better off here. He's the lead candidate for Labor in Ward 2. And look, I really do thank Ben for coming in and for his time this morning. It's been really enjoyable, listeners, and I hope you've enjoyed our conversation too. We'll have a word now from our sponsors, and we're back after that. Thank you.